Okay, I'm talking here today with Tanya Evans from Stanford and Michael Ullman from Georgetown, and they've finally agreed to tell us a little bit about the work that they've been doing involving math disability and dyslexia. Maybe, Tanya, do you want to start out first? Tell us a little bit about this paper that you recently authored.
Sure, absolutely. So thank you so much for having us today. We really appreciate it. So Dr. Ullman and I recently published a paper discussing a hypothesis about the origins of math disability rooted in a memory system called procedural memory. So our hypothesis is that a lot of these deficits occur because of issues in procedural memory and really the automation of. And so in order to fluently learn math skills, children need to practice these problems and learn how to do them quite quickly and automatically. This is a learning system where you can also think of it as analogous to someone learning how to ride a bike. And so you practice, and then it just becomes something automatic. You can't really explain how you do it. And so that would be kind of how we think about these things in the realm of mathematics.
That's really interesting to me because in our book, The Dyslexic Advantage, we had a thing with a Kindle highlights to see what section of the book was most underlined. And the single passage that was the most frequently underlined was the area about procedural memory. Because often when people get introduced to dyslexia, you don't hear anything about it. But if you're a parent working with a student, learning how to write or learning how to do arithmetic, these kinds of steps seem to come up often. Can you tell a little bit more about procedural memory and how it might present with difficulties?
Sure. So when learning arithmetic, one has to learn the procedure of how to add, how to subtract, how to multiply, how to divide. The other hand of procedural memory is the declarative memory system. And a lot of people think that because math facts can be memorized, that would be the main route to doing these problems. But really, particularly when problems get a little bit higher, it's something that procedural memory comes into play. And so being able to repeatedly go through these processes is something that's important in order to succeed in math.
Now, and feel free to join in here maybe, Michael. It's not necessarily all of math, though. Is that correct? I mean, because in some cases, we can actually, we know students and even adults who are quite good mathematically at the higher levels, but they still say, well, I count with my fingers or I need a calculator. Can you
That's
tell
exactly
me?
Right.
Yeah, what's that about?
So what Tanya and I think is that certain aspects of math might depend on procedural memory, and those are the ones that would be particularly affected in individuals with developmental math disability caused by problems with procedural memory, as we hypothesize. Those probably include, we think, but there's still very little evidence to this about this, arithmetic, so simple addition and subtraction, for example, as well as, exactly as you were saying, counting, which again is kind of automatized and probably or is not unlikely to depend on procedural memory. So it's not the case, as Tanya was saying, that everything in math depends on procedural memory, but only certain things and probably those things that are most automatic and that we do non-consciously.
Right. Yeah. Now that ends up being a lot of the labor, I think, that comes with homework for a lot of dyslexic students, because some of the things that may be more quick or automatic for students ends up being just excruciating, all consciously done with a lot of thought, as opposed to, you know, automatically and quickly. Is there any kind of process that you think, you know, in a bigger picture, that there can be a trade-off between the automaticity on one side and perhaps something else on the other?
Yes. So as Tanya was saying earlier, there are at least two major learning and memory systems in the brain, procedural memory and declarative memory, and they have different neural underpinnings in the brain. And they in many cases, they can both achieve the same goal, but in different ways. This is true in reading, probably, and we can talk about that later, but also in math. And so someone who might have these kinds of procedural memory problems leading to math difficulties might be able to achieve the same kinds of things, such as arithmetic or counting, as we mentioned, in a different way, in particular using declarative memory, which is a more conscious, effortful memory system, very much along the lines you were saying, Fernet.
The reading sounds fascinating. Do you want to add the little comments now about the reading?
Sure. We and others, particularly Angela Fawcett and Rod Nicholson, have proposed that procedural memory is also impaired in dyslexia and, in fact, might lead to some of the reading difficulties in dyslexia, in particular aspects of automatic reading, very rapid reading. Of course, a lot of reading is automatized, just like some math. And there has now been a fair number of studies examining procedural memory in dyslexia. In fact, we published a meta-analysis a couple of years ago or so, which shows that across studies, in fact, procedural memory is impaired on average in dyslexia. So this, in fact, is one of the reasons why Tanya and I came up with this hypothesis, which is because dyslexia co-occurs in the same individuals, the same children and older individuals with math disabilities. So you have reading problems and math problems in the same individuals. It seems not unlikely that they would share causal mechanisms. And since reading difficulties, dyslexia have been attributed to procedural memory impairments, we thought the same thing might be also true for math.
Interesting. Now, there's a lot of interest from really everybody, from students, from parents, from tutors and teachers. They often hear a lot about what's weaker, what needs remediation, but they also want to find out more about what might be relatively strong or even stronger in certain cases, because it might make a shorter distance to the goal in terms of when they're trying to learn something new or trying to acquire information. Is there any insight that you can give us about systems? It could be memory, it could be types of things like, any skill-related things that I think is an interesting consideration in terms of thinking that these might be relative strengths of a dyslexic?
I can start with that. Maybe Tanya can add something. I should say Tanya is more the expert in dyslexia than I am. I kind of do a little bit of work in it, which is one of the reasons we teamed up for this paper. Uh-huh. She is more knowledgeable about dyslexia and math disability than myself. Great. Nonetheless, we have a study that we published with colleagues at 2 or 3 years ago, where we found, actually for the first time, that declarative memory, this other memory system, is actually apparently enhanced in dyslexia. That is, children with dyslexia actually seem to have better declarative memory than typically developing children. This has not been found in math disability, so math disability may be different or maybe just hasn't been found yet, but it's really, really interesting, we think, that it's been found in dyslexia, and moreover, that is particularly relevant since we've also argued that declarative memory, as I was saying before, takes over from procedural memory for various problems, including reading and dyslexia. So not only does declarative memory apparently take over for reading and dyslexia, but because it's better in children with dyslexia, it can take over even more effectively.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I'm going to get to Tanya in a second, but I just wanted, before I finish that, how did you find out this strength?
So this is a collaboration with colleagues in Sweden, and we tested children with dyslexia on a test of declarative memory. It's a particular kind of test called a recognition memory test, where the participants, in this case the children with dyslexia or typically developing children, first see pictures of real objects and made-up objects, and they don't even know they're going to be tested on memory. They basically just say, is this a real or novel object? Then we surprise them a few minutes later and say, which of these did you see a few minutes ago? And they see both the same pictures of objects and made-up objects and matched ones they hadn't seen before, and we see how good they are. In addition, we then tested the same children a day later, and not only were they better than the typically developing children at initially recognizing which objects they had seen, that is 5 minutes later or so, but also a day later. So that the strength was not just temporary, it's actually lasted over the course of a day or more.
Oh, that's really fascinating. Thanks for sharing that, Michael. I'll send a link to that, to the original article with this blog post. Fantastic. Tanya, is there anything that you can add to this discussion?
I think that it's incredibly interesting that Michael has found this compensatory mechanism for declarative memory in children with dyslexia. It appears that it can be something that could compensate for the procedural memory system, and it would be incredibly fruitful, I think, to test this across a range of developmental disorders, and particularly in the domain of math.
Fantastic. You know, we had a board member who recently gave a talk at one of our conferences, and she said, I'm very binary. I can do this. I can't do that. And understanding what I was really good at and what I totally couldn't do at all really helped me succeed in the field that I'm in. And so it just really rings true. And I think the more that everyone has an understanding of both things, right? What things are weaker, what things are stronger, it helps you be able to approach things and also assess how kids are doing, you know, because you certainly want the weaker areas stronger, but also the strong areas might end up being really important for future careers or strategies that they can use in higher education and all that kind of stuff.
I don't really like the phrase, I can't do that. You know, I prefer the phrase, I struggle with this. Let's find a different way for me to accomplish that. Because I have the utmost confidence in these children in being able to, you know, overcome things that they aren't necessarily very good at to begin with.
Yeah, certainly a good point. When she said this, our board member, she had already reached the top of her career. And often you can get a child who feels that they're bad at something, and then they think that they can't improve, and that's just something that, you know, they end up needing to work very hard through. So no, I agree with you there. I agree with you there.
And I think even, you know, consistent with what you're saying, and emphasizing it, I think that even the knowledge that there are different ways of doing something, which actually even, you know, rely on different brain systems, may be helpful, so that that might give children who have difficulties in reading or language or math the confidence to try something else, knowing that they may succeed in other ways.
Yeah, great point. Great point, guys. Well, it's been a wonderful chat. Really appreciate it. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in really your approach to things and the questions that you're investigating. If anyone has any questions afterwards, can we send them along to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yay. Okay. All right. Thanks so much, you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for inviting us.
Yeah, you bet.